Ocelli.com.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Another hour of the Ocelli Effect, and here we go. So, bit of chaos here on June 1st, but let's roll with it. Addie Adds is with us now. Addie has been on the show many times, investigative journalist. He's been out there doing different things and chasing down the leads, as it were. Now, we talked to him a lot about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, of course, and that was our introduction to Addie Adds. But I know he's got a lot of other things going on. He does, he does this thing on Facebook all the time, actually. I get notices. You're one of the few people I still get notices from on Facebook, Addie, where Addie Adds is live, and he does that. So he does a little live thing on video, shows you a lot of different things, has guests sometimes, and keeps you up to date on what he's doing. And you can do all that, and I'll give you all the links with the show notes to support Addie Adds, follow what he's doing. You can follow him on Twitter. But, of course, it's better to go to some of these other places. And I know one of the video joints is your big thing. Is it Rockfin yet, or is it something else?
Yes, yeah, I am on Rockfin. I got to say, when I was on the road, I definitely wasn't producing or broadcasting as much video-wise. But yeah, I'm on Rockfin principally, and that's the safe spot to find my videos. My YouTube just got put on timeout again, actually, for some Georgia 6th congressional district coverage that I did.
Me so too. I just got put on timeout on. I just got put on timeout on the GooTube also. And initially, sure. You know what it was for? Initially, is COVID stuff. Then I got follow-up complaints, and finally, they said I was supporting the 2020 election fraud thing. And the funny thing is that the video in which they said I was doing that, I was not. I was I gave them an expletive-laden appeal. And okay. Believe it or not, they restored that video. I'm still on timeout for the COVID stuff, though. But they restored that video because I said I brought it up. I didn't support it. And I was discussing it from a totally different angle, which, of course, is that it's impossible for them to steal an election from you because you didn't own it in the first place. But that wasn't what they hit me for. They said I was supporting the 2020 election fraud. And I was like, look, if that's what I said, I wouldn't even contest you. But you're hitting me again for some nonsense. Remember, these are the same people that got me for cyberbullying Jeffrey Epstein. After he's dead, by the way. So I was cyberbullying him. And also promoting self-harm, Addie. And you know how I was promoting self-harm? I was comparing speeches that John F. Kennedy gave about the Vietnam War. So, you know, I don't know if the AI is messed up or people don't know how to speak English or I don't know. But I think I'm pretty clear when I say stuff and I'll take the criticism. Yeah, the COVID-19. Yeah, I violated your COVID policy. No argument. But this was like, you know what? You guys do whatever the F you want because I can't handle trying to argue nonsense anymore. You're literally hitting me for something I didn't do. And I guess I got a human being involved in the process who looked at it and went, oh, no, he didn't actually do that, did he? Once. So one out of three this week, Addie. But I'm still on timeout just like you. So we got to go to these other platforms. And the Ocelli Effect Rockfin channel is ready to go. I just got to set up the crypto wallet, I think, and something else. And then I'll be putting content there next because at least they won't... They won't censor me, and they don't censor you there, do they, Addy?
No, they don't. Yeah, and I think I've gotten quite a few people on there, so that's good to see. You know, it does seem to be hitting a critical mass, at least with the creators, not so much with the public yet, I don't think.
We'll get there, but there's a lot of places to go. Also, Addy's got the – I know you're still doing the Buy Me a Coffee deal, right?
Yep, still on Buy Me a Coffee. I'm still on Patreon, believe it or not, even though it has decreased quite a bit since the election over like a year and a half ago or 2 years ago now.
Yeah,
it really dropped off more so in that January period. But yeah, still on Buy Me a Coffee, and then I'm on Getter too now. I'm using Getter more than I have before.
Yeah, I saw Getter, and I'm not sure about that. But look, you know what? You and I maybe we'll have a little talk off the air about this stuff because, you know what? We keep discovering things ourselves, independent creators, and you know we got to inform people and start to give them the idea where to go. So I think if we all do that together, we might have a more coherent effect. And we can all help each other. But we'll discuss that at a later time because I want to get to the work. See, this is the thing. You got to do the work, and then you got to do the work. So, you know, you not only got to go ahead and do the journalism and interview people and be present at trials and whatever else it is you can be. I know you probably already now been hit with all the, well, do you want to go to the press conference? Because now they have virtual press conferences for everything. Which is a new weird option to me. Maybe it's not new to other people, but like these Zoom press conferences. Anyway, you take up your time doing that. You take up your time researching. You're calling people. You're meeting with people. You're going places. Look, it's a lot of work. And then you got to figure out, how the hell do I get this stuff out there? So anyway, there's two different sets of work. So let's get to the set of work that matters most that really got you to start with, right? Which is, let me go after some real information, unlike I'm getting from anywhere else. What is it that you've been working on lately, Addy Ads?
Yeah, so I just, at the end of last week, got finished. I joined this bus tour that was led by Radio Talk show host John Fredericks, and we traveled around the state of Georgia with the really the Team Trump team is the Real Georgia Speaks Team Trump bus tour, kind of campaigning with the Purdue camp, who is going against the incumbent Brian Kemp, and obviously Kemp held on last Tuesday. Believe it or not, I'm actually working for an outlet now, the Georgia Star News. So I'm writing for them, which is great and something I'm really proud of. And we were on the road for a month about, and really met a lot of great people. And the first morning there, actually, I bumped into people that I first met when I was covering the post-election shenanigans in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really a cool experience to see that kind of group and web of people come full circle on this tour, because, you know, there are people I hadn't met and then people who were my main contacts in Georgia, some of them, and some of my biggest supporters that were actually on the tour. And it really turned out great in that sense. And so I've been, you know, really busy helping out, not with just the bus tour, but writing articles as well. And doing my thing that I do with my Twitter videos and my short interview videos, as well as getting a couple longer broadcasts in when I could, particularly for a couple reports I did right before election time. But it's been kind of nonstop moving, almost without exception. There was a few nights that were an exception, but different hotel every night, you know, going around the state, and really not just to areas in Atlanta. We went, you know, way down south, way up north, you know, where the mountains are there, up there in northern Georgia. Really beautiful state too. Got to see a lot of the state, and yeah, it was a really fun experience.
See, all of this, and you or Greg Palast, neither one of you, and you're definitely two different types of journalists, but still both of you interesting and welcome to my show. Here's the thing, neither one of you stops in Macon. Here I am in Macon, and you guys don't stop here. Now, I know I'm in a bad neighborhood, Addy, okay? It's a little rough here. I know that, all right? It's, you know, hood adjacent, definitely. But you know, nobody stops to see me. Tell me, what's the problem, Addy? I'm going to confront you right here and now. How come you didn't stop and see me? You're all over Georgia. Macon is one of the major cities. Bibb County's pretty big. How come you didn't stop here, Addy?
Yeah, you know what's funny, Chuck, is we actually did stop there, and okay. I was about to call you, But it, by the time I had a second, it was the end of the day, and we had to get up again at 5 a.m. and then move to the next city. So okay. It was really, I kind of ran out of time there to get in touch with you. And part of it too, Chuck, was that we didn't really know where we were going to be. Sometimes even the next day, depending on how the current day went. So, not to mention, I was usually the last person to know that information, anyways. So,
okay.
I was really, you know, it was fun though. I was yeah. You know, kind of put into a whirlwind of a bus tour and learning, you know, the new way of writing that, you know, the editors want, getting to know everybody. So, you know, the next time I'm more available in Georgia, I'm definitely going to stop and make them.
Well, you know, definitely got to either have a beer or a smoke or something on my porch here, man. I mean, it's got to be a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
If just that, you know, a cup of coffee you want, all right, whatever. I mean, let's do this because I asked Greg to come by too. And, oh, yeah, definitely, absolutely. And then he goes. I don't know. You know, I'm like, hey, how come nobody's stopping to see me? I'm just busting your balls. Look, I know you were busy. And Macon is not, you know, the Bibb County area. And, in fact, there is a Macon Bibb County, governmental collection, which is a little weird. Like we actually have a mayor of the county and all that, not very much in contention as far as what the problems were with the voting, as far as I know. Now, the only thing that I find freaky about this area is, that anybody voted for Stacey Abrams. But, you know, because I can't get, I still have this problem, like why the Libertarian candidate got nothing throughout the state in 2020, mind you. And, you know, and Abrams got as much as she did because it makes zero sense. It's just the gun issue alone. This is Georgia. Nobody, and I do mean nobody that I run into, is really, truly anti-gun in Georgia. It's just, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it is that anybody really legitimately supported Abrams. Now, we'll put that aside because that wasn't the focus of your trip. Weird thing. I'm not a fan of Purdue, by the way. And kind of, even though, you know, people have their arguments about what went on with the senatorial situation, I kind of feel like that whole mudslinging campaign boiled down to people couldn't figure out what the worst choice was. You know, so there was a mess there. And Brian Kemp, not a fan of him either. You know, this is the guy who literally, and this is just public knowledge, you know, maintained his control over the election while he was part of the gubernatorial election. So, you know, I'm just saying impropriety looks like the standard in Georgia. I mean, there's even a lady here, I don't know if you ran into her, who goes and records supposed public gatherings by the political parties, right? Her name is Lydia Tinsdale. You ever heard of her?
I actually haven't.
Okay, well, it's a surprise. I had her on my show because the governor, a couple of governors back, kind of had her beat up for just recording one of the GOP gatherings, which she wasn't making any commentary. She wasn't doing anything other than literally memorializing it and posting it. I found it really strange. But equally, the Democrats threw her out of stuff, too. And I'm talking about stuff that they had, you know, a gathering at the big farm during a pumpkin picking tour or whatever, where they would get up on a podium and make speeches, you know, just around election time. Weird, very local stuff, even. They were just throwing her out of it for recording this stuff. Very strange state Georgia is when it comes to the politics. And look, I realize you were sort of on one side of the equation. Have you considered trying to embed yourself with the blue side of the equation here and watch firsthand how strange that can be? Because, again, you might have been, you know, intellectually aligned with the one side there. But have you ever considered trying to go with the blue side to see what happens, or you figure they just wouldn't allow you in?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I honestly haven't thought about doing that. I think it would be interesting to do. If I had to guess, I would say they would probably not even allow that risk in the first place, given the fact that I tend to criticize, you know, both sides, but it is much easier to criticize the left than the right. But yeah, it's, you know, perhaps that's something I'll do in the future. I see pretty much any steps back towards the center as a boon for the nation. So it's not necessarily that I think conservatively in every issue or from every angle, you know.
Right. No. I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking the question because, you know, it's just like I had my issues here where I do take equal swings at everybody in this state, and it doesn't make me any friends. And got to tell you that even the mayor who was supposed to come on my show then declined after he found out that pretty much any politician is fair game to me. Sure. And that's really what happened there. And this is a guy, by the way, if you message him on Twitter about, you know, your garbage cans, he'll usually respond to you. But he did to me initially. But when and I invited him on the show, he accepted. And then it was like, yeah, well, we're going to check into you a little bit. And radio silence ensued because and this is a Democrat, by the way. Yeah, big shocker. I mean, I'm the guy who also was happy to have Cynthia McKinney on here, who has had Derek Grayson on. Did you run into any talk about Derek Grayson? Because even though he's more of a libertarian candidate, I think the last few times he ran, he was on the GOP part of the ticket.
Yeah, I think you're right. I actually didn't hear too much about him, but yeah, you are right about that. He ran Republican in 2016 and 2014.
Right. Say. Right. And by the way, the first time I had him on was 2014 when he was running on the GOP side. But again, you know, here I go. It's just that he had some common sense things to say, and I liked him. Okay. So, and some people call him the Minister of Truth down here, and it's not even a joke. It's just because he'll sit there and he'll say the unpopular thing and still run for office. And they tried to get him fired from his job and all kinds of weird things, which, again, the politics here are always greasy. There's always greasy stuff going on. Like, things that you could get away with if you have the right money people behind you, you can't if you're an independent. Which, you know, again, squashed pretty much. Like, it makes no sense to me that Ted Metz got, you know, 1% of the vote in the state as the literal Libertarian Party candidate. In 2020, right? I mean, it was like, yeah, or 2018, I think it was. Excuse me. It made no sense to me. And by the way, that's the only one I endorsed was the Libertarian candidate. Weird thing. And then we had that massive runoff, which Grayson was involved in, and the media wouldn't even mention. You know, when that runoff took place, and they ended up with Warnock and God, I can't even remember the other guy's name anymore. Because he's that little of a factor post-selection there. But either way, we ended up with two Democratic senators, which make no sense. You know,
is that Ossoff or Ossoff?
Ossoff, that's it, yeah. Okay. I kept thinking of various things to say about him that were not polite, but I just couldn't remember his name. Because he's a very weak candidate. He makes another thing. They don't usually like to elect... the touchy-feely kind of not looking like you're strong, man or woman, by the way, doesn't matter. You gotta exert some strength for anybody to get behind you in Georgia. You gotta, even if you're wrong, you better be strong in your conviction. Okay, seriously, in Georgia, that's the way that works. And it makes no sense that Ossoff got elected. Now, I understand Warnock, actually, even with his checkered past. I understand how he could get selected here, but Ossoff makes no sense. Again, just like Stacey Abrams getting any more than, say, 20% of the vote in the state, makes no sense. There's no way more than one in five people here is going to go for the anti-gun candidate. It's Georgia. Everybody's got a shotgun. Yeah. I'm not kidding, by the way. By the way, did you see that throughout the state that plenty of people walking around, especially now we have the constitutional carry and all that.
Kemp just signed that, right?
Yeah, lots of people armed, and yeah, in certain spots people are getting shot. That's true, like where I live. But but the thing is, it's more about the behavior of the people. It's not the guns didn't increase, by the way. I'm sure there wasn't a massive influx of guns because of the constitutional carry. It's the same guns that were here to begin with. But anyway, it does make for a different conversation when somebody's got, you know, a weapon on their side. Quite frankly, it ends up being a lot more polite.
Yeah, for sure.
So did you experience that? Because I know you're maybe a little more accustomed to up north. I mean, I think that's where you spend most of your time, right?
Yeah, not recently, to be honest, Chuck. I really have been moving around almost nonstop for the last couple, you know, 2.5 years or so. There's a couple periods where I was in one place for a few months, you know, like two months at the most, but really, that's my longest time in one spot over the last couple years. But yeah, I mean, in rural Wisconsin, though, where my family is, you're, you know, very liable to see guys walking around with pistols on their hips, mm-hmm. you know, when you go to the convenience store or the gas station.
Right. And it just, like I said, changes the dynamic of a conversation where everybody's aware that everybody could be armed. Just saying. You know, I'm not saying that it's always the solution, but it does change things.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of the respect versus fear thing. You know, some people will never respect you. They'll only fear you, you know, and that sometimes means being armed, depending on the person. Whereas other people, you don't need a weapon to garner, you know, at least a baseline level of social respect from the person.
Right. So what would you say is the most surprising thing you discovered studying, at least from the GOP side of things, up close? The you know, because frankly, they do control the state. The GOP controls this state. I mean, I don't understand people who say that even, yeah, maybe Atlanta and maybe Savannah are not controlled by the GOP, but everything else pretty much is. And I live in one of those blue swaths, supposedly, as well, which is weird, because you don't hear vocally from anybody who's on the blue side of the equation. The vocal people are on the red side of the equation here. But I do believe that there may indeed be more of a blue vein here in the Macon-Bibb County area. But, I mean, outside of those three things that I just mentioned in the state, almost the whole rest of it is absolutely controlled top to bottom by the GOP. And they have assured themselves that position. Not saying that it is illegal in any way, but it is very intentional, and it has been structurally created that way. So it's very weird for me to watch now the red side of the equation beginning to fight with each other here. And so I was curious, because you were right in the, well, in the center of it. If you're on the Trump side of it, you're in the challenger side of the non-established GOP for the most part in Georgia, but they're still just as red as their opponents in these primaries and all this other stuff. What did you learn about that you found surprising? Anything?
Yeah, it was, well, for one, my first time being on any sort of campaign tour, any sort of bus tour. I thought it was interesting how Kemp seemed to copy the idea, and he had his own quasi-bus tour, which was pretty lame compared to what we did, I would say.
Spoiler alert for people at home, if you're going to go and look that up, it didn't do well, and it didn't last. It just kind of fell apart. Boy, Kemp was, and that's the governor. So, go ahead, Gaddy. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I think it was indicative of the fact that he was feeling a bit nervous, and you know, on top of that, well, first I want to mention I looked up Nydia Tisdale. She's already following me on Twitter, so I followed her back and I shot her a message. So hopefully I can get a chance to interview her, but. Yeah, it was something that Emerald Robinson mentioned in her Something Stinks in Georgia article, which Trump shared out just yesterday on his website. And that was that Patrick Witt, who was running for insurance commissioner against John King, was polling at 52%, Heiss at 60%, and Burt Jones at 59% 1 month before the races. And on primary day last Tuesday, none of that happened. Burt Jones did win, but the other two guys basically got pummeled. So that was very much an outlier in terms of the results, not to mention Kemp winning. I think it was 73 or 76%. It was in the 70s.
Right.
You know, even before that, it was, you know, some people had it at like 54 or 51 for Kemp going before. And this is a quote from Emerald. She said, "Nobody in any election in America gets 74% of the votes." Mm-hmm. She said it just doesn't happen. So that was her contention there. But it is an anomaly when you look at Trump's track record of endorsements so far. With the exception of Georgia, if you take it away, he was pretty much undefeated. So it was very much an outlier. And John Frederick stated he thought the establishment wanted to make an example out of Georgia, maybe specifically as it pertained to Trump even. But yeah, as far as being on the tour, I got to say I was impressed with John Frederick's work ethic. The guy is he just doesn't stop. You know, he gets up at 3:30, 4:30 every single day, and he's got his radio show from 6 to 10, and I'm sure you know the deal being in radio, Chuck. I'm not even sure, even though I did do radio in college, and I actually, that was what I wanted to go into, it wasn't even journalism, it was radio broadcasting initially, but I couldn't find a job doing it, so I just started talking into a mic on YouTube, and that worked out a little better for me. But that made an impression upon me. Another thing too, the team I worked with was very competent and generally very polite and kind people to work with. They're polite, like I said, but they got their stuff done, you know, and they were up and at it every single day. So that was really great to work with, people who really were about the bottom line of getting the team job done. Whereas I did find a certain people, perhaps associated with a certain political action committee, and you could maybe guess which one that was if you realize what tour I was on. I found them to be a little less team-oriented and not really thinking about the bigger picture and kind of maybe bean counting a little bit, as some people like to call it. But that was interesting, you know, just seeing the dynamics between the two groups and the dynamics of the team and how they got things done every day. But as far as the campaigning itself, I thought the fact that John Gordon didn't seem to have – he's kind of seemed like a one-man show, like a Han Solo-type character as far as running for attorney general went. He was probably the guy I personally liked the most, and he too got pretty beaten pretty badly by the incumbent there, Chris Carr, Chris Do-Nothing Carr, as some people like to call him. I thought, another thing in hindsight that was surprising was the effort that Purdue put in. It did seem a bit half-hearted, both in terms of the finances that he put behind it, which I heard was negligible, and just the effort, too, that he also put behind it. For example, when Trump called into the radio show, John Frederick's show, on a Friday there towards the end, Purdue didn't even show up in person, which I thought was a mistake. You know, this is you're going for all the marbles here as far as the Peach State goes. Yep. So that was a bit surprising. And I think I was also surprised at how many people I already knew that were very active, you know, players in the Georgia political scene, if we want to put it that way. You know, someone like Garland Favorito I've known for almost 2 years now. And I also met up with Heather Mullins of Real America's Voice election night. So that was, you know, another kind of connection that came full circle there is going back to 2020. So that was really cool. And, you know, just seeing the amount of money that goes behind these campaigns was also an impression upon me. And the amount of money that I contend is wasted because they don't use it well and aren't good stewards with it as well. Not so much Mr. Frederick's team and the team that I was working with, but other teams that I watched, it did seem like a lot of money was wasted, and They seem to be more concerned with the money than winning, which is really what you would expect the bottom line to be. You want your guy to get in to office, right?
But
the way that some people behaved, it didn't seem that way.
You are nailing some of the keys here to the kingdom, because that's the interesting thing. When you start to investigate the amount of money, and I mean to tell you, open it up to all sides, okay? When you start to look at the amount of money that's being invested, and then the job that they're going to get, and then you find, I mean, there is such a variety of things. There's not one story here. It's not like everybody who's got the money just wins. In Georgia, that's not true. But the guys that sometimes, like this Purdue thing is very weird. You would think that he would try to capitalize on the one key difference, because again, it's a red versus a red, right? They're definitely both. It's not like they're going to argue really about guns. It's not like they're going to argue about abortion. They're not going to argue about the supposedly key issues here, right? So you got to accentuate the difference. The fact that Purdue doesn't show up to that is key. That's weird. That's yeah. Almost like, why are you giving away the ground you need to pick up where you can only be the one to pick it up? It is the strangest thing. I'm going to tell you something else. He did that during that senatorial run. The same thing happened. And people were like, oh, they stole it from Purdue. No, they didn't. This guy gave it away.
Yeah.
He really did. And I'm sorry to say, if you're observing this and you don't care which side wins, seriously, you look at both sides and you go, you know, neither one of you makes sense. The only thing I see here is that there is a general team effort here to maintain a certain status quo. That's the only thing I can get out of this whole equation. Because if people think, and, you know, Stacey Abrams, I don't care, Star Trek made her president of the world, you know, please. you know that, right?
Yeah, that's another clue that I take as mm-hmm. that's their person for 2024, you know?
Yeah, sure. Let him try that. She's not going to make a presidential run. I mean, I'm going to be polite and not tell you exactly why she can't be that person for, I mean, unless she's going to be put in there as a stalking horse to give it to somebody else, which, you know what? That might make sense. Maybe they'll do that. Let her be the loser in 2024. That might be her role, but otherwise, it's not serious. I'm just telling you now. Even though they made her president of the world in Star Trek, you know, that's supposed to be a signal. Get out of here. This is just... she is meant to lose. Now, if you accept that I said that and you believe me, now figure out what the motivation is for what she's doing. I'm serious. I mean, I don't mean you, Addy. I'm obviously talking to the audience. But the thing is, think about it. If you can see that somebody's not trying to win, they must have a motive for being involved in this, right? So now what is the secondary motive? And I ask that question again. It's not just Democrats, but, well, there's more of them that obviously look like they're trying to lose. I mean, I legitimately had a guy on here who was like the socialist Democrat from the Savannah area trying to run for that Senate seat during the jungle primary, right? And interesting guy. He's a professor there at whatever university it is in Savannah. I forget now, but a smart guy, and he's got an idea about socialism will make America better. Now, I'm not saying I'm a socialist, but I am telling you that maybe there's not all bad ideas in the socialist book, okay? So I entertained a guy on here and actually said, you know what, I'd love to see you win, but I think you're going to get about 12 votes. And I'm pretty sure that there'll be 12 people that are listening to me in Georgia, because that's about it. That and his students might have voted for him. Maybe got 24 votes. Let's give him that. And that is about what happened. That's what I expect to happen. It made sense. But the guy was out there legitimately. That's what he believed. And it was not a big cash grab. He didn't have a bunch of money. I mean, he drove over to see me to bring me a yard sign with his wife. You know what I'm saying? This is a regular guy. His ideas don't belong in Georgia. but he means well. And I say let him run. I say let them all run. Put all the ideas out there, and you know what? What the people want, let them have it, even if I don't agree. And if I don't like it, I can move. That's the way I see it, to somewhere where there are people who think more like me. But unfortunately, we can't get to Mars yet. So the problem is that in this state, though, guys like that are just, you know, they're there, and that happens, and it is organic. But when you see the people that actually get involved with the machines, there are a bunch of things that will not make sense. Again, Purdue should have at his disposal the ability to raise money. With the Trump endorsement, you know very well, that granted him even more access to funds. It is not a lack of funds that caused him to lose that primary. Okay? It just isn't. So it leaves you with another open question, doesn't it? Okay, why is not the full effort being put in by a guy who could accentuate his difference, even though, again, it's a gradient difference from one GOP candidate to the next? You know, it's not like Purdue ran on the Democratic ticket. All right? And therefore, he's saying, I'm switching over sides or anything like that. So in reality, it should be easier for him to siphon off of Kemp. All right? Yeah. Especially because some people are disappointed with the mixed messages. And this is true, by the way, in this state, very true, about COVID, about the various things that have gone on here. Who's actually responsible for suspending the state tax on gasoline? Because people are getting crushed by that as well. You know that all across the country. Kemp takes credit. Warnock takes credit. Okay. The state assembly, who really deserves the credit for actually doing it, doesn't take credit. Right? Georgia is a weird place. I keep trying to say this, and it sounds like I'm just incoherently mentioning a whole bunch of disconnected things. No, that's Georgia politics. Addy, tell me I'm crazy. Go ahead. Tell me, Chuck, you know what? Really, you don't understand. I was there, and I see a very coherent thing going on, and it all makes sense. It does not, sir. I am sitting here all the time witnessing this, and I got to tell you, none of it makes sense. I mean, from dog catcher to governor, you got all kinds of strange things happening. Practically absentee politicians getting selected by 70-80%, even if they don't campaign. People pounding you with commercials, okay, constantly. And I'm not sure that those are effective either, because if you believe those narratives, you should have entirely different results. I mean, either their campaign commercials are failures, or, you know, or people have actually realized that they're full of crap. But even so, if they realize that they were full of crap across the board, we're still not getting the selection results that it looks like we should be getting. Like, every time you poll, it doesn't work. So I don't envy anybody who's trying to work a political campaign here at all. But, I mean, tell me I'm crazy that I'm making all these contradictory statements and it's anything but the reality on the ground here. I mean, what is your opinion?
No, I think you're on point there, Chuck. It's a crazy state, and I mentioned this before on broadcasts. It was unbeknownst to me how important Georgia is, the Atlanta area is, and you know, not just, you know, locally, but nationally, in the political scene. You know, it's really, you know, with this primary, I think everybody's attention was turned on it again, similar to 2020, you know, and I would say, you know, you could argue it's the most important battleground state, even exceeding that of Ohio, and Arizona and Wisconsin. It's crazy. It's the mafia does seem to be very, very deep here, or in Georgia.
Yeah, but I wish it was the mafia, because you might be able to reason with them. You know, it's not. It's like a political stranglehold that just, again, all I can call it is the status quo. Going back to when Governor Deal was here, and believe me, you want to start asking people, you know, veterans questions about the political landscape here, ask them about Governor Deal. Because, you know, this guy was amazing. Mr. Freedom, who absolutely participated in, you know, please bring me all the Patriot Act stuff you can to Georgia. I mean, like, that is literally the contradiction you see here. I believe in your freedoms until you, run afoul of this other agenda that I'm not going to tell you about.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is I wrote about something. It was actually for the Georgia Star, and it got published in the Tennessee Star as well. Mm-hmm. But it's about this Buckhead Public Safety Task Force that issued its final report And I'll just go over the connection here. I love this.
Wait a minute. Yeah, go ahead. Because I, you know what? They have a you're talking about the one that has a version in a couple of different parts of the state where they collected the different pieces of data and they were supposed to have these public meetings, right?
Oh, I actually don't know about that, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
But we can talk about that, too, if you want. I was just going to mention the surveillance aspect of it because you mentioned the Patriot Act.
Oh, please do. I know.
Atlanta Police
yes.
Foundation has this program called Connect Atlanta, whereby camera owners can give permission to the Atlanta Police Department's Video Integration Center, VIC, to monitor requested footage after they register their surveillance cameras with the APD. In the radio dispatch network realm, ComNet is a way for citizens and those not in law enforcement to be connected to the same network that the police are. So,
Wait a minute, Addy, pause for a second because I want people to understand this part of it. Okay, well, you just said it real quick, but let's break it down. What you're saying is that let's just say you're a franchisee of a McDonald's. You can connect your surveillance cameras in with the greater web. Come be part of the matrix. But not only did they do that for business owners, which, you know, under the guise of public safety, but they've also said, hey, listen, you got a Ring camera on your house, right? Why don't you come be part of this fusion? Okay, here's that word again. The fusion, like the fusion centers, which that has a role in it too, by the way. Why don't you come be part of the fusion? We're going to take all of your existing cameras that we didn't pay for, didn't install, and we're going to just include them in the web. And oh, by the way, you can become part of the snitch system. Now, there are some people that think this is great because, oh, well, there's just shoplifting everywhere. Well, all right, I get that. But if you think that connecting yourself in with the cops is going to result in, I don't know, a stoppage of leakage in local businesses, you're out of your mind. Please continue on about this, though, because I love this. Nobody wants to talk about the surveillance systems that are coming in. You know, everybody thinks of Georgia and other parts of the country as well. Probably they're a little, you know, behind on this kind of stuff. Oh, no. Tip of the spear on the let's integrate everybody's technology. And do you know about the smartphone aspect of this yet, Addy?
I don't. It may be related to the COVID lockdown app idea.
It is.
I would guess.
It is. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, just checking in as far as people's geolocations, you know, whether or not they are, you know, adhering to a curfew or otherwise, you know, and determining that with their smartphone.
Right. And this also ties to another thing which they tried to institute here in Macon. I don't know if you heard about this because, again, there's a lot to take in if you're trying to study the chicanery in Georgia. But did you hear about the audio surveillance system where as they were supposed to be hearing about gunshots, right, so that they could respond to gun violence quicker in Macon because they would have these open mics everywhere using all of the stuff you're talking about, the fusion of the businesses, the rings, all these things, right? They would now know the geolocation of gunshots. Did you hear about that piece of technology they integrated into it?
Wow. They actually have that in The Dark Knight, I believe, the Batman movie that Christopher Nolan made. They had this, I think, part of the computer system Lucius was using, if I recall correctly.
But that's cell phones only, right? This isn't cell phones.
Right.
This is literally open microphones, listening devices connected to the cameras and stuff in all of your surveillance. Again, like I said, you know, that camera you see yourself on at McDonald's or the convenience store or the grocery store, all of those, some of them have audio feeds. So all of that stuff being integrated in, now they know, okay, let's just say somebody shot a block away from the Piggly Wiggly and it happens to be near the liquor store. Well, they actually have an AI that comes in and says, well, look, it's 20 feet from the liquor store. It's 100 feet from the Piggly Wiggly. It's got to be here. Respond here. This system was supposed to assist law enforcement, and that was rolled out here in this area where they were testing it. Now, ready for the punchline? It doesn't work. That's the punchline.
Really?
Yeah, they found that it gave inaccurate information, you know, at too high of a level. Too often, it was misdirecting the cops. So And these were in simulation. They didn't institute it, say, for, you know, everyday use. But when they tested it here, that's what happened. And this is the kind of thing they're doing, is they're piggybacking it on top of that thing with the APD and everything else and presenting it as a fusion of surveillance. This is how weird it's getting. And this is just here in Georgia. I don't know. Maybe you guys, maybe this is not surprising to anybody else. But this is the freedom state, right? Where these politicians tell you, oh, no, I'm all for you having your freedoms and not being observed. And, I mean, we do have a very, very cool sign language guy every time the government does stuff. I love that guy, by the way. Did you get a chance to meet him?
I haven't yet, but I'm sure I'll bump into him eventually.
Dude, he is awesome. He has a great long beard, and he does, like, the very serious physical body movements and the whole bit. Very expressive. Pop concert promoters use him to do the lyrics on stage because he's so cool. And he's an older guy, white hair, giant beard. I forget his name, but he's very cool. Every time Kemp speaks, if you see the sign language guy on TV, watch him. He's very cool. But anyway, and every major government announcement, you'll see this guy. All right, sorry, sidetracked there. But the thing is, all of this surveillance stuff is getting rolled out, okay, while they're telling you that they can't geolocate this and that and the third thing. Like that whole thing about, you know, the drop boxes, and they had the phone data. They can certainly track the phones. And they're working on tracking everything, whether you volunteer for it or not. And that's happening in, you know, this state where we're supposed to be about, you know, people's freedoms and making sure their constitutional rights are, you know, respected and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. Good luck in Georgia, because I tell you, that's what's happening. I'm sure it's happened in other places. And I'm sure it's happening in other places. But that's the part of the story they don't tell you about. So, anything else you want to continue with, Addy, please do. I mean, I'll give you extra time because I ran my mouth here, but I'm just like, I'm happy anybody's even taking notice of any of this stuff, because I swear to you, when they go to Georgia and they start to talk about, well, here's the violations of people's rights, it's all bull. It's never right. Trump's not right. Abrams people are not right. Nobody's right about what's actually happening because nobody's actually looking at it. So thank God guys like you are going to dig into this some more. And everybody else, by the way, I invite everybody, come on and get it. There is a lot here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's a buffet. It's a buffet, Chuck. There's no shortage of stuff to cover in Georgia, you know, whether you want to look at it from the election beat or the crime beat or you know, any which way you look at it. And I think that's why, you know, there is such a big demand for it, is because it's not being covered like it is. And it's great, you know, that we connected when we did. I think it was during the Maxwell trial, because, you know, so many of these bona fide citizen journalists and independent reporters and investigators like Nydia Tisdale, who I'm now going to reach out to, and so many other people. So, yeah, it's been great. But, yeah, just, as far as stuff I want to cover, you know, just this Joe Rossi report that I did, I ended up making an appearance on Emil Robinson's show, The Absolute Truth. It's about the Fulton County 2020 presidential election certification process. And this data, which is a batches loaded report printed from this machine count two, which was conducted on December 1st and 2nd, basically shows the tally of the voting for the day. And they had to print a batches loaded report. Fulton County actually did not know that Joe Rossi was in possession of the initial batches loaded report. He gave that document to me, as well as other documents and photos, and I kind of put them into one of my articles or in intelligence reports that I actually released independently, which, you know, I just wanted to get it out there. And there were several outlets that it was pitched to, but nobody wanted to touch it for whatever reason. Right. Emerald Robinson liked it. And as I mentioned, her report on the 2024 election was the one that Trump tweeted out. But the important stuff with this was the metadata for an email that was sent by Richard Barron, who was the head of the election board at the time. He has since been asked to step down by his peers. He sent an email 7 minutes after the batches loaded report one was printed. He sent this document, batches loaded report.xml, the Excel file, as an attachment. And This was to Ryan Macias, a member of the National Task Force on Election Crises and Election Expert, quote unquote. And this was, again, after the state told Mr. Barron to reconcile the situation with regards to the first batches loaded report. And if you look at them, I made it pretty easy to understand because I ballooned up the images and circled them and pointed them out with red dots and circles. But there's a discrepancy of some 20,000 votes. And this was because of these missing tabulator tapes or poll tapes, which are kind of like receipts for ballots. They don't actually, you know, physically are worth anything, but they just show you that the ballot went through, basically. Some 20,977 fraudulent votes added to the recount. So that tabulator report was also included in my Substack report, and it explains the 20,000 votes, about 20,700, 20,900 votes that were added to the second batches loaded report. Furthermore, one Kevin Moncla, who, as I can gather, is a citizen journalist or election integrity a citizen, he filed an open records request for these tabulator tapes, and the Office of the County Attorney for Fulton County admitted in an email that they do not exist because they don't exist. And that email picture was also included in my report. Kemp told us, principally Mr. Rossi was the contact with Kemp's team, that they would get back to him last week. As far as I know, they haven't said anything about it. But the buck is still largely with the Secretary of State, Raffensperger. So I wanted to mention that. And then just quickly, this Senate Bill 633 that Jeff Mullis, Georgia senator, apparently put through, possibly to secretly benefit Ringgold hotel owners who he may have personal relationships with. He's also allegedly having an affair with Angelique Moore, and both of them are either married or have a partner. So that's something that Bill White, head of the Buckhead City Movement, disclosed to me also on election week. And likewise, nobody wanted to touch that story either.
Well, it's amazing because as soon as you throw out an allegation and, you know, you present a bit of evidence, which could back it up, maybe further investigation is needed. And certainly the legal mechanisms that should respond to these things, you know, what they generally do is nothing. And that's the way it goes. And I'm telling you, the fun part, I encourage people to dig into this in the state of Georgia any which way you like. And I'll tell you what, come into it with an agenda if you want. Come into it and say that you want to make Republicans look bad. Do it. Come on in and tell me you want to show how corrupt the Democrats are. Let's do it. Because you know what? You're all going to win. It's a mess. It's a total mess. And yes. I can't stress it enough. Again, Addy adds, you're fighting the good fight, but I got to tell you, it's even if you just focused the rest of your career on the state of Georgia, you wouldn't run out of things to write about. So I'm glad you got what is that publication again? The Georgia Star?
Yeah, I'm with the Star News Network, and I write for the Georgia Star.
Georgia Star, right. It is the Georgia Star. I knew I recognized the name of that publication, but it is the Star News Network because they have stars in a couple of other places as well.
Yes, and it's growing, too. I think, outlets just opened up in Connecticut and one other state, too. I want to say Missouri. But, yeah, Georgia, they got one in Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania. Yeah, so it's a growing writing network and writing outlets.
Right. I mean, I think the only other state that might be more fertile for this kind of thing might be Pennsylvania, where you still find me a good guy. Do it. Because I can't figure it out. You know, one thing somebody did bring up is that the guy in the wheelchair in North Carolina, which his name I can't remember now, what is it, Cawley?
Cawthorn. Yeah, Madison Cawthorn.
Cawthorn, that's it, Cawthorn. You know, wasn't he Trump-backed and also failed on his primary, or am I wrong about that?
Yes, I'll tell you what happened chronologically and then my contention.
Sure.
He came out and basically made allegations that politicians have these these coke orgies parties, basically. And I think there was a couple other gaffes he might have made. And not to say that's a gaffe, but the way I see it is that they didn't like him saying that, which, you know, those of us in the know the politicians are, you know, slimy animals, so yeah, most of them.
And it's not exactly a big stretch of the imagination, given some of the things that we've discovered. The only thing that was weird about that is that he was claiming that it was the GOP that do it. And I always thought maybe it was more of a Democratic thing. But I don't, you know, I'm equal opportunity here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, even, and I think we've talked about this before, too. The Franklin Network was largely GOP. The Epstein Network was largely DNC. So, you know, it is both sides. But they didn't like that, I don't think. And then, you know, somebody, probably an intelligence agency, leaked a video of him, you know, acting weird with some frat brother or something like that. I actually haven't seen the video. But they smeared him in terms of his reputation. And, you know, I do think it was there's more to it than he just made a few mistakes. I think the timing was weird, and I think he might have pissed off the wrong people.
Yeah, no, look, I agree with you there. But then again, he was his own worst enemy, too. So, you know, to me, it's reasonable that guy lost, because some people are trying to say that, you know, that was, and I'm like, no, it's kind of actually reasonable, given the stuff that was dropped. Now, I'm not saying that it dropped organically, but given that it dropped, it doesn't look good for him. That's all I'm saying. You know, but anyway, I think he was actually Trump endorsed at one point, but maybe not so much now. But either way, it's just a Skyper brought it up. So anyway, Addy Ads, once again, great hour with you, and I know I'm going to want to do this again.
Let's do it.
You know, I love going through this stuff with you, especially because, again, you're not married to one side or the other. I mean, you might have your leanings, but you're not going to sit there and say, I mean, like, the fact that you said what you said about Purdue, I was like shocked. Good. Because nobody else is saying it. And that's what happens when you allow independent journalists and you support them. So I'm going to give you all the links to do that with Addy Ads in the show notes. So go ahead and click on it. Do that. Support his work, follow his work. It's going to be interesting as the years go by, I assure you. Addy Ads, thanks for doing this with me, man.
Thank you. Anytime.
Stick around in the next hour. We'll do something else, won't we? And who knows how we'll cut this up for podcast, but either way, the Ocelli Effect will continue.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com.
Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicilian, all of the guests that you have, how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have no idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
Woke free. A diversified multicultural postmodern deconstruction is politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bicoastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with my database is in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive. Behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, pushing the envelope. I'm on point, on task, on message and off drugs. I got no need for coke and speed. I got no urge to binge and purge. I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, but under the radar. A high concept, low profile, medium range ballistic missionary. A streetwise smart bomb. A top gun bottom feeder. I wear power ties, I tell power lies, I take power naps, I run victory laps. I'm a totally ongoing Bigfoot slam dunk rainmaker with a proactive outreach. A raging workaholic. A working rageaholic. Out of rehab and in denial. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up, you can't dumb me down. Because I'm tireless and I'm wireless. I'm an alpha male on beta blockers. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever. Laid back but fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long-lasting, high-definition, fast-acting, oven-ready, and built to last. I'm a hands-on, foot-loose, knee-jerk head case. Prematurely post-traumatic, and I have a love child who sends me hate mail. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. A supportive, bonding, nurturing primary caregiver. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position on the long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I'm gender-specific, capital-intensive, user-friendly, and lactose intolerant. I like rough sex. I like rough sex. I like tough love. I use the F word in my email, and the software on my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn. I bought a microwave at a mini mall. I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll-free, bite-sized, ready-to-wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory-authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cock-locked and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow. I go with the flow. I ride with the tide. I get glide in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road.
If you want to play blind man, Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.